The gospel reading this morning is one that I think is rather well known. And if it's not well known outside our circles, it should be well known to us, because two of the prayers in preparation for Holy Communion place on our lips the words of the centurion, to tell the Lord that we are not worthy that he may enter under our roof. And this gospel passage is astonishing in Jesus' humility and meekness, as well as for the centurion. Because recall, the centurion was a soldier. And not just any soldier, but the soldier who had command over many. And not just one who had command over many, but he was a Roman soldier. A soldier of an occupying army that was occupying the kingdom of Israel. So they were not free. The people there were occupied by an army. And the centurion could have come to Jesus and demanded that he come to heal his servant. He could have said, "You, Rabbi, come with me now." And the centurion did not. And remember also, he was a Gentile, a pagan, not a Jew. And here he is, who worships the Roman gods, comes to a believing Jew, a practicing Jew, Jesus, and asks him for mercy, not even for himself, but for his servant. Such was not only the centurion's faith, but even his humility. And Jesus, in humility and meekness, when the centurion asks in this way, the first thing Jesus says, "I will come and I will heal him." And the centurion says, "Lord, no, I'm unworthy." He's saying, "I know who you are. You're more than just a prophet, more than just a charismatic rabbi who has people following him. You are someone more, and I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. But you simply say the word, and my servant will be healed." And this Jesus finds powerful enough to remark upon, that he says, "I have not seen such faith here in Israel." That Jesus is teaching and preaching, and many, though not all, many among the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, they went saying that Jesus had a demon, that he was a drunkard, that he was leading people who were condemned to begin with, that there was no point in trying to bring them to God because they did not know the law and so were accursed, as we read in the gospel. That Jesus' fellow Jews, some of them, they thought he was a fraud, an imposter. And Jesus says, "Here, this man who worships pagan gods, he gets it. He has faith. And with that faith, he has humility. That he does not make demands upon God, does not demand him to come to his house, but comes and says in humility, 'I am not worthy, Lord.'" And so Jesus finds and heals the servant. And as we hear the gospel writer say, the servant was healed at that very hour. Jesus didn't even see the servant, didn't go to the house. By his word, by the faith of the centurion, his humility, Jesus acted so that the servant would be healed. And beloved, going back to the communion prayers, this is how we are to approach Christ always in our prayers, in coming here to worship him, in coming to receive him in his body and blood. For indeed, we confess with the centurion that we are not worthy to receive him, nor are we ever worthy, because we can never make ourselves worthy. Humanity can never be worthy before God, because he created us. We're made from the dust of the earth, and God is so far beyond anything we can conceive, anything we can see or hear. It cannot be put into words. But God is humility. Christ is humility himself. For he who has all rights and all prerogatives as God empties himself of all of them to become us, to speak to us, to show us his face, to have his body broken for us, his blood spilled for us, and to give us his body and blood in the bread and wine so that we receive him, we who are unworthy, because he loves us so, because he so much wants to be with us, wants us to be with him, so that he leaves nothing undone. Nothing undone for us, including dying and being risen from the dead. This is his love for us and his own humility to condescend to all these things for us. And we are always saying, and we need to approach with humility. Not to ever think that by our prayer or by our fasting or by our almsgiving, we somehow become worthy of coming to the chalice. We are always unworthy. All those things, the fasting, the prayers, the almsgiving, are to bring us into closer to communion with Christ in our daily life, so that we come here then to receive him in the holy communion of his body and blood, which we receive for the washing away of our sins, and for life eternal. And immediately before we receive communion, the consecrated lamb, it's called the lamb, Christ is the paschal lamb slain for us, is raised up, and I say, the holy things for the holy. And what do we say? We don't say, I'm holy, I'm worthy. We say, one is holy. Only one. Only one is Lord, the God I am who I am, as Jesus reveals himself in the Old Testament. And that is Jesus Christ. And he clothes us in his holiness. He knows we are unworthy, and yet he calls us to draw near to him. And so we draw near with humility, calling ourselves the first among sinners. And not simply saying those words, but truly meaning them, that they reach into the depth of our heart. Because if we say we're the first of sinners, and then someone goes and says something about us that we don't like, and we get upset, we're not really considering ourselves the first of sinners. To be considering ourselves the first of sinners is so that if someone does something against us, says something against us, that we can still look at them, offer up prayer for them before God, and ask God to implant in our hearts the love for them that he has for us, because he loves us all. As Mother Gavrila, a modern day Greek nun fallen asleep already, has said, remember that as God loves you, so does he love your enemy. He doesn't play favorites. He loves all because he created all. So let us keep that humility, approaching Christ, asking him to clothe us continually in his humility, so that we who are unworthy, can approach him with love, with humility, calling ourselves the first of sinners, so that as we receive his body and blood, as we pray, it's not for judgment nor condemnation, but rather for the washing away of our sins. And not only that, but for life in him, here on earth, and in its fullness in the kingdom.